It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. To be blunt, I scarcely know where to begin. It has been a very long day. It's the 27th day of September, 2018. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. And, of course, that is during this program and every other live edition of the program where you go. If you would like to click on chat room, pick out a screen name and a password, and jump into the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm just sort of moving methodically through the stuff we do at the front of the program just to try to achieve a sense of normalcy or impose a sense of normalcy on a day that, quite candidly, has had about as much to do with normal as a Poland-China hog does with tap dancing shoes. But, of course, we have thanks to send out. Thanks going out this evening to our buddy Robert in Australia, and to Susan in Massachusetts. Thank you to both of you. And thanks as well to Julie. Those are our subscribers for this 27th day of the month. And we are still in the midst, we're moving toward the downside, I guess, of fundraising free radio for the end of September. So that's all that'll be said about funding. So thank you very kindly again to Robert and Susan and Julie. Thank you very much indeed. That having been said, I've been doing probably what you've been doing. That is watching this travesty in the Senate Committee on the Judiciary. Involving the testimony of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and a real prep school asshole in Brett Kavanaugh. It's going on right now, and we're going to go back to the audio. No offense. I mean, everybody else out there can watch and listen at the same time. Not so much me. So I'll have to have the audio up if I'm going to know what the hell's going on. We are streaming live and happy on all the relevant streams, White Rose Society, HeadOn.live, Roku, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're about as streamy as we can be. A note came in from Ron and Raleigh a little bit ago. I'm sure you suffered through the hearing today. Kavanaugh pissed and whined and moaned about how his life was ruined by the allegations against him. Life will be real hard sitting on the highest court in the land, ruining everyone else's lives. Listening to the heartfelt, wrenching testimony of Dr. Ford made me think of the phony, trumped-up statement of Leanne Tweeden against Al Franken. Who do you think was lying? The BS indignation of Lindsey Graham was truly amazing. He's never seen or been a party to such a miscarriage of justice. Funny how Merrick Garland's snub seems to have slipped his mind for the next 30-plus years, thinking people will know that a drunk serial abuser will sit on the Supreme Court. I know. Lee in New York with a note to get us started. I was thinking about the highest level of judge, a seat on the Supreme Court. I would expect a person considered for that spot to understand the courtroom process and polite conduct in that setting. Can you imagine a prosecutor asking about the witness's conduct and the judge tolerating a what-about-you response? Well, yes, prosecutor, I did speed. Don't you do that, too? How fast do you go? How can anyone be considered an adequate judge if they think you can't call it a crime if I can't get you to admit you behave badly, too? I know. As Laborman has noted, Brett Kavanaugh is a sniveling little jagoff. I've got a pretty busy Twitter timeline today, if you want to go and check that out. I've been watching and, you know, from the Peanut Gallery and commenting all along. Hung Like Jesus says, I thought I'd blow a vessel watching that dick with his fake outrage. Yeah, and I've learned pop culture stuff. I admit, I guess I had a sheltered little middle-class upbringing that didn't involve hoity-toity Jesuit prep schools and stuff, but I had no idea what the Devil's Triangle was. I did know enough to know that boof and boofoo have absolutely nothing to do with passing gas. That was one of the perjurious statements that Brett Kavanaugh made a little bit ago. But Devil's Triangle is not a drinking game like Quarters. And I like the artful way that he addressed it, looking at Sheldon Whitehouse and saying, "Did you ever play Quarters?" No. Well, it's a drinking game then. No, Devil's Triangle is not a drinking game. And at this point in time, as sleazy and tawdry and filthy and disgusting as Brett Kavanaugh appears to be, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't find out what Cleveland steamers and or find out that a Cleveland steamer is a boat that he once took to see an Indians game, and that a rusty trombone is a drink made with Kool-Aid and ketchup. Yeah, right. This is one of those I'm ashamed for my country moments. And precious Lindsey Graham, he done auditioned for the new job as Attorney General of the new United States once Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third gets all fired and whatnot. They're coming back right now. For the longest time, Aunt Lydia did the questioning, but people like Dia Lindsay had some grandstanding to do, but there's actually going to be some decent questions asked now because Maisie Hirono has the floor. Let's check in. Bob, it will help immensely if you will unmute the channel.
We heard from Dr. Christine Ford, who spoke to us with quiet, raw, emotional power about what happened to her. She said she was 100% certain that it was you who attacked her. And she explained how she came forward, how she struggled with her decision, how she wanted the president to know so that he could make a better choice. So when you and my colleagues on the other side accuse us of ambushing you with false charges, I think we all have to remember Dr. Ford's testimony and her courage. Let me go back to something you just said in your opening. You said you thought at your first hearing the Democrats were an embarrassment. We asked you a lot of questions in those days. And which of our questions do you think were an embarrassment? I asked you about dissents you had written as a judge, an amicus brief you wrote as a lawyer, and your knowledge of sexual harassment and abuse by your close friend and mentor, Alex Kozinski, all valid questions in the setting. They're valid because this is a job interview for one of the most important positions of trust in this country. And earlier you agreed that this process of advice and consent is really a job interview. Certainly not a criminal trial. There's certainly no entitlement for you to be confirmed to the Supreme Court. Are credibility, character, and candor of a nominee things for us to consider in your job interview?
I think my whole life is subject to consideration.
Is that yes? Credibility, character, and candor.
My whole
are those specific traits that would be of interest to us as we consider putting you for life on the highest court in the country? Credibility, character, and candor.
Of course, and as part of my whole life.
Is temperament also an important trait for us to consider?
For 12 years, everyone who's appeared before me on the D.C. Circuit has praised my judicial temperament. That's why I have the unanimous, well-qualified rating from the American Bar Association and all the...
Guess they never saw him throw a weeping, screaming, shrieking fit like he did a couple of hours ago.
An important factor for us.
Yes, and the federal public defender who testified to the committee... talked about how I was always open-minded and how I'd ruled in favor of unpopular defendants, how I was fair-minded. I think universally, lawyers who've appeared before the D.C.
So the answer is yes. I am running out of time. You know, we only have 5 minutes, so let me get to something else. In your Fox News interview, you said that you, quote, always treated women with dignity and respect, end quote, and that in high school you never... quote, drank so much that you couldn't remember what happened the night before. Would you say the same thing about your college life?
Yes.
So I'd like to read you statements from people who knew you in college.
And
Senator Coons noted that James Roche said, your roommate, although Brett was normally reserved, he was a notably heavy drinker, even by the standards of the time, and he became aggressive and belligerent when he was drunk. So is your former college roommate lying?
I would refer you to what I said in the sealed or redacted portion about his relationship with the other two roommates, and I'm going to leave it at that. I will say, Senator, you're asking about college. I got into Yale Law School. That's the number one law school in the country. I had no connections there. I got there by busting my tail in
college. I feel insulted as a Georgetown graduate.
Excuse me?
Go on.
I'm sorry. It's ranked number one. That doesn't mean it's number one. And, you know, in college, two things. A, I studied. I was in cross-campus library every night. And B, I played basketball for the junior varsity. I tried out for the varsity. With the first day I arrived on campus, we had captain's workouts. I played basketball.
This is apparently meant to show us that he couldn't have got fallen down commode hugging drunk while he was at Yale.
I was obsessed with
okay,
so
then.
You were not
a basketball player.
I only have 23 seconds. So you were not as a sloppy drunk, and so your roommate was lying.
I will refer you again to the redacted portion. I'll say, look at my academic record. And I don't usually like to talk about myself this way, but in response to your, you know,
that's what he's been doing all afternoon.
In my studies, and I also played basketball. I did sports, and I also socialize.
Excuse me. I know that the chairman is going to stop me, but I do have some other references from people who knew you who say that you were not the basic barber. But hold on. I'm sorry,
Senator,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator, tell us.
I would like to, Mr. Chairman, okay, I'll wait until we finish because I just want to enter some letters into the record. Could I do that?
I wasn't clear that's what you were doing.
I could go on. But, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter into the record 4 letters. One is dated September 18th, 2018, to you from all of the Democrats on this committee. Another is a letter dated September 18th to Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and Don McGahn, counsel to the president, signed by all the Democrats on this committee. A September 21st letter signed by Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein to the president, and a September 26th letter signed by all the Democrats on this committee, all requesting an FBI investigation, because you did say all we have to do is ask, and the implication being that if we ask, an investigation will happen, and it certainly has not happened. Thank you, Mr.
Without objection, that will be included. Senator, tell us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Kavanaugh, thank you again for being here, and I apologize for what you're going through right now. I can't imagine it. I've gone through a campaign and had a lot of smears, but it pales in comparison to what you've had to deal with. I think one thing, one point.
Well, you know, when you take Thom Tillis's remarks into account, hey, you know, if he doesn't get confirmed to the Supreme Court, we can just make him Jesus because he spent so goddamn much time getting himself nailed in up on the cross now, hasn't he? I was trying to put this, because nobody really gives a shit what Thom Tillis says. I was trying to put this into some sense of context. And I got to thinking, and it, and this is only me. This is only my, you know, my little 55 years on the planet. But it runs, I as I've mentioned, I was a fetus. Because, you know, we've had a lot of this from Brett Kavanaugh, so why not? I was a fetus during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I was laying in a crib while JFK was murdered. I was a toddler during the height of the Cold War. As a little kid playing baseball, I came home from baseball games in the summer to the Watergate hearings. Growing up, I was a fresh-faced little journalist during Iran-Contra. Then, as I entered real, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding, full-on adulthood in my 30s, I watched the tawdriness of the Clinton scandal and the Clinton pursuit. My 30s wrapped up with Bush v. Gore. My 40s started with a bloodthirsty rush to slaughter the innocent people of Iraq. Then came the presidency of Barack Obama. And honest to Pete, and everything I've seen today confirms me in my thought here, that I've never seen anything as insane as this naked, raw grab for pure 200-proof political power exercised by the Republican committee, the Republican majority on this committee, and a Republican White House. I've never seen anything like it. With all those things going before, I've never seen anything like it. And it's all for the purpose of putting a guy who's pretty much, without doubt, a perjurer. And if you believe the compelling, heart-rending, trigger-pulling testimony of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, and I do... you know, not just a perjurer, but a mean-ass, high-functioning alcoholic sexual predator on the very highest court in the United States of America. And that's my mid-50s. The nightmare realm of Donald Trump and the abandonment of every last norm that we thought applied to the idea of constitutional governance in the United States. The nightmare realm of Donald Trump, complete with little kidnapped children being kept in dog cages in concentration camps that the likes of Brett, good upstanding, fine altar Catholic boy, would gladly uphold. The nightmare realm of Donald Trump, replete with real, live, no-kidding, honest-to-goodness Nazis, honest-to-badness Nazis, and Klansmen. The president himself, with something north of 22 credible allegations of sexual assault against him.
implication via sworn testimony in no less than 4 federal felonies. The member nations of the United Nations collapsing in paroxysms of laughter at my country. And it's all encapsulated in a scene in the Dirksen Senate office building, in which that aforementioned high functioning alcoholic, mean ass, drunk, sexual abuser is shrieking at senators because of his perceived privilege and right to be on the Supreme Court. So let's check in now with Cory Booker's examination.
You said clearly on the record, I just want you to restate it, that you never in your life, after drinking heavily to the point of throwing up, and again, you said you had a weak stomach, you said you never had gaps in memories, never had any losses whatsoever, never had foggy recollection about what happened. Is that correct, sir? Yes or no?
That's what I said.
Okay.
That's
sir,
a tell.
You also said that this past two weeks has been a two-week effort calculated and orchestrated as a political hit. Are you saying that Dr. Ford's efforts to come forward, to prepare for the very difficult testimony she gave today, to travel to Washington, D.C. and tell us about her experience, have all been part of an orchestrated political hit? And are you basically calling her some kind of political operative?
I've said my family has no ill will toward Dr. Ford. She wanted confidentiality. Her confidentiality was blown by the actions of this committee, and it's turned this into
a circus. So, sir, let's just be clear. In other words, you have problems with the senators that are up here and how we conducted it, but you're not saying in any way that she is a political pawn, political operative. You have sympathy for her. She is talking about a sexual assault. Is that correct?
I said all allegations should be taken seriously. You should listen to both sides. My family has no ill will toward her.
Thank you, sir. Do you wish that she never came forward?
Senator, I did not do this.
That's not my question, sir. Could you try to answer my question, sir? Do you wish she never came forward?
The witnesses who were there say it didn't happen.
Okay, sir. Do you wish you just remained silent then?
I wish the witnesses who were there say it didn't happen. All allegations should be taken seriously.
So even if it's in the final days before a vote, if someone has a credible allegation of experience that they held for a long time, that person should be allowed to come forward. And in fact, as she said, it was her civic duty. You're not questioning her sense of civic duty, are you?
She did come forward, and then it was
I know you have a lot of political animus. You stated it very clearly towards my colleagues and I on this panel. What I'm trying to get to the bottom of is...
Shrieked like a fucking banshee.
You do not see her specifically as part of an orchestrated event. She is not a political pawn.
I don't know her. But I've also said that we bear no ill will toward her. She wanted confidentiality. This could have been handled.
And I understand. But she came forward. She took a great extent.
Yeah.
Your family has gone through hell. Her family has gone through hell. Right. She sat here. She told her truth. And you made the allegation that she was coordinating it. I do not think she was coordinating with the therapist.
I did not say that.
I'm sorry. So you said that others were making a coordinated attack.
Coordinated by...
Forgive me. You were talking about us, not
room.
Her.
Some
so she was not. She
him.
Was not doing this for political efforts in 2012 when she talked to her therapist about this attack. She was not coordinating about this painful experience when she made revelations to her husband. She did not coordinate in 2013, 16, 2017, before you even nominated, when she revealed that it was you with 3 different people that had sexually assaulted her. That wasn't coordination. And Liz,
all the witnesses who were there say it didn't happen. Ms. Kaiser is her longtime friend, said she never saw me at a party or without Dr.
And Ms. Kaiser has said clearly, and I'll quote what she said. She said she does not remember the night in question. That supports what you said. But she also says that she believes Dr. Ford. And so my colleague Lindsey Graham, who I respect and have admiration to and has been a partner of mine, he said voting no would be legitimizing the most despicable thing in American politics. Do you think that people who believe Dr. Ford are legitimizing despicable things? Those of us who think she's a credible witness, the allegations against her are credible, do you think that somehow we are engaging in something that's despicable?
Senator, I say listen to both sides before you make a bottom line conclusion. And... Look at the...
That is
look,
fair.
Look at my,
I have 10 seconds left,
calendars.
Sir. You can answer after I finish. You have 10 seconds left. That is fair. Listen to both sides. This is not about somebody, one side being despicable, the other side not. Listen to both sides. She was a credible, I'm going to finish my question, you can answer. She gave credible, meaningful testimony, a woman who had the courage to come forward and tell her truth, sir. And that's what I'm just asking you to say. She is not a political pawn. She is not orchestrating. She is not part of the Clintons' efforts to get some kind of revenge. She is a woman who came here with corroborating evidence.
Because he said that too.
Is that a question?
No, sir. It was a final statement.
Senator Cruz.
Just on one thing, Mr. Chairman. The evidence is not corroborated at the time. The witnesses who are there say it didn't happen.
No, that's not what
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Kavanaugh, you and your
family dear God.
Have been treated incredibly poorly by Senate Democrats and by the media. And let me say also, I think Dr. Ford and her family have been treated incredibly poorly by Senate Democrats and the media. You have both seen your good names dragged through the mud. And this has been, sadly, one of the most shameful chapters in the history of the United States Senate. Let me say to you and your family, thank you for a lifetime of public service. I will say, watching your mother's pained face.
Damned interesting coming out of the mouth of the Zodiac Killer, just saying. Steve, in New York, with a very good question. I'm trying to recall, how many times did they apologize to Dr. Blasey Ford for what she went through? Well, none of the Republicans did, Steve, because, well, all those pasty-faced, doughy old white men were too chicken shit to do their own jobs. And so they let Aunt Lydia do it for them. A Maricopa County prosecutor from the same county and having worked hand in glove with Joe Arpaio for a significant portion of her career, who has a history of, letting dangerous, predatory, sexually violative men go free with a slap on the wrist. What were you saying there, Raffaelito? I don't know what he's thinking right now, but I know he's thinking no booger.
A Democrat in this committee asked about two sets of those allegations. Ms. Ramirez's allegations and the allegations of the client of Mr. Avenetti. Not a single Democrat. I don't know if they were just too embarrassed. Mr. Avenetti's allegations were so scandalous that the ranking member omitted his client's most scandalous accusations of you as a criminal mastermind, essentially, omitted those scandalous accusations from her statement. This hearing has focused, rightly so, on the allegations Dr. Ford presented. And let me say, I think the committee did the right thing in giving Dr. Ford a full and fair opportunity to tell her story. That's what we needed to do when these allegations became public.
So that we could then ignore her and vote in favor of you so we can put you up on the Supreme Court and you can ruin the lives of countless millions of women who would like to have continue to maintain control over the workings of their reproductive organ systems. God bless America. Praise Jesus. Right? Yeah.
Well, we know that Dr. Ford identified three fact witnesses who she said observed what occurred. All three of those fact witnesses have stated.
So basically, Raffaelito here, who's not much in the way of a trial lawyer, is trying to restate his version of events so as to keep Brett Kavanaugh from opening his pie hole. Because, see, remember, they started out with Aunt Lydia questioning Brett. But he was freaking and shrieking so bad that they had to stop so that people like precious Lindsey Graham could have a hissy from down beneath the fainting couch where he was a-hiding. Note coming from Ron in Raleigh. Hey, Bob, how much grade inflation do you think goes on at Yale? Yale and Harvard have reputations to uphold. I would put my alma mater UVA against the phony aristocrats from the Ivies. While you lay in your crib, Bob, I was quaking under my desk, hoping like hell I wasn't going to end up as a shadow on the wall. Duck and cover, y'all. Yeah, that was the advantage of being a baby on November the 22nd, 1963. Steve, meanwhile, with an observation. Intelligent drunks and alcoholics. I knew plenty of super intelligent, smart drunks and alcoholics while in school. Lee says, subject line, Cruz, do you think the effort to get a senator in a tight reelection bid could be convinced to choose self over party? Yeah, I mean you, Raffaelito. Well, but see, Lee, the people who are the only thing that him voting against Kavanaugh could do would be to piss off the people who were at least planning on voting for him now. Raffaelito's in a tight corner.
Personal privilege to respond.
Oh, he's apparently attacked Senator Feinstein.
Let me be clear. I did not hide Dr. Ford's allegations. I did not leak her story. She asked me to hold it confidential, and I kept it confidential as she asked. She apparently was stalked by the press, felt that what happened, she was forced to come forward, and her greatest fear was realized. She's been harassed, she's had death threats, and she's had to flee her home. In addition, the investigation that the Republican majority is heralding is really nothing that I know about other than a partisan practice. Normally, all the witnesses would be interviewed. However, that's not happened. While the majority has reached out to several people, they did not notify me or my staff that they were doing this. And so to argue that we would not participate but not tell us what they were up to is somewhat disingenuous. I was given some information by a woman who was very much afraid, who asked that it be held confidential, and I held it confidential until she decided that she would come forward.
Mr. Chairman, would the ranking member...
Which, by the way, is there's truth in that simply because her own caucus was pissed at her because she would not show them the information. Oh, here's John Cornhole.
Staff did not leak it?
Oh, I don't believe my staff would leak it. I have not asked that question directly, but I do not believe
do you know
they
that?
Would.
I mean, how in the world could that get in the hands of the press?
The answer is no. The staff
Have you asked your staff or other staff members on the Judiciary Committee?
Pardon me? Well, Jennifer reminds me I've asked her before about it, and that's true.
Well, somebody leaked it if it wasn't you.
Well, it was, I'm telling you, it was not, I did not. I mean, I was asked to keep it confidential, and I'm criticized for that, too.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask the chairman a question, which is, does the committee have a process if there is an allegation against any nominee? To assess that allegation in a confidential forum rather than in the public, since Dr. Ford requested that it be kept confidential, is there a process for the committee for considering confidential allegations?
And the answer is yes, and I said...
And if they had done that, the Republicans would have shrieked Star Chamber.
Along the lines of your question.
And, Mr. Chairman, what would you have done if on July 30th the ranking member had raised this allegation with you? As the chairman of this committee, how would you have handled
it? We would have done like we have done. With every...
They would have smeared Dr. Ford so badly that she wouldn't even have been a greasy spot on the chair today. Why? Because they are Republicans, and power and party always come first. And nasty old Chuck Grassley has given the game away all day long, admitting that his sole purpose... was getting Kavanaugh onto the court, no matter the cost, by any means necessary.
So we had with the judge, through our investigators, Democrats didn't participate except in those two, but in those two, or one or two, they didn't ask any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I want to...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
May I respond? It's my understanding that her story was leaked before the letter became public. and she testified that she had spoken to her friends about it, and it's most likely that that's how the story leaked, and that she had been asked by press. But it did not leak from us, I assure you of that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm a little confused. I thought only the member of the House and Senator Feinstein and her lawyers had the letter, so her friends she might have talked to about it couldn't leak the letter if they just had a verbal conversation unless she gave them a copy of the letter.
Senator, I don't think the letter was ever leaked.
Well, how did the press know to contact her about her complaint?
She testified here this morning that she had talked to friends about it.
They had the letter.
And that press had talked to her.
The letter was leaked.
Senator, our judge, since there was reference to the problems, the legitimate problems, and the change of lifestyle that Dr. Ford had, if you want some time to say the impact on your family, I'd be glad to hear you. If you don't want to talk about it, that's okay.
I've talked about that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Then Senator Harris.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Judge Kavanaugh, have you taken a professionally administered polygraph test as it relates to this issue?
No, I'll do whatever the committee wants. Of course, those are not admissible in federal court, but I'll do whatever the committee wants. They're not admissible in federal court because they're not reliable, as you know.
So you've not taken one.
Right.
All three of the women who have made sworn allegations against you have called for an independent FBI investigation into the claims. You've been asked during the course of this hearing by four different members, by my count, at least eight times today. And also earlier this week on national television, whether you would call for the White House to authorize an FBI investigation. Each time you have declined to do so. Now, you know, I know you do, that the FBI is an agency of men and women who are sworn and trained law enforcement, who in the course of conducting background investigations on nominees for the Supreme Court of the United States and others are charged with conducting those background investigations because they are sworn law enforcement and they have the expertise and the ability and the history of doing that. So I'm going to ask you one last time. Are you willing to ask the White House to authorize the FBI to investigate the claims that have been made against you?
Well, I'll do whatever the committee wants, of course.
And I've heard you say that, but I've not heard you answer a very specific question that's been asked, which is, are you willing to ask the White House to conduct an investigation by the FBI to get to whatever you believe is the bottom of the allegations that have been levied against you?
The FBI would gather witness statements. You have witness statements.
I don't want to debate with you how they do their business. I'm just asking, are you willing to ask the White House to conduct such an investigation? Because as you are aware, the FBI did conduct a background investigation into you before we were aware of these most recent allegations. So are you willing to ask the White House to do that and say yes or no, and then we can move on?
I've had six background investigations over 26 years.
Sir, as it relates to the recent allegations, are you willing to have them do it?
The witness testimony is before you. No witness who was there supports that I was there.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a no, and we can move on. You have said in your opening statement you characterized these allegations as a conspiracy directed against you. I'll point out to you that Neil Gorsuch, was nominated by this president. He was considered by this body just last year. I did a rough kind of analysis of similarities. You both attended Georgetown Prep. You both attended very prestigious law schools. You both clerked for Justice Kennedy. You were both circuit judges. You were both nominated to the Supreme Court. You were both questioned about your record. The only difference is that you have been accused of sexual assault. How do you reconcile your statement about a conspiracy against you with the treatment of someone who was before this body not very long ago?
I explained that in my opening statement, Senator. Look at the evidence here, the calendars. Look at the witness statements. Look at Ms. Kaiser's statement.
Okay.
Okay. And then do you agree that it is possible for men to both be friends with some women and treat other women badly?
Of course, but the point I've been emphasizing, and that is if you go back to age 14 for me, you will find people, and not just people, lots of people who I've been friends with, some of whom are in this room today, starting at age 14, women, and who talked about my friendships with them through my whole life, and it's a consistent pattern all the way through. 65 women who knew me more than 35 years ago signed a letter to support me after the allegation was made because they know me and they were with me and we grew up together. We talked on the phone together and we went to events together. That is who I am. What they've said, what the people who worked with me in the Bush White House, the women there, look at what Sarah Day said in centralmaine.com. Look at the what the law clerks. I have sent more women law clerks to the Supreme Court than any other federal judge in the country.
I only have a few seconds left, and I'll just ask you a direct question. Did you watch Dr. Ford's testimony?
I did not. I planned to. I planned to. Thank you. I planned to, but I did not. I was preparing mine.
Our last 5 minutes will be Senator Flake, 1 minute. Yeah. And Senator Kennedy, 4 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When Dr. Ford
rubber tipped arrows
account, I immediately said that she should be heard and asked the chairman to delay the vote that we had scheduled. And the chairman did, and I appreciate that. And she came at great difficulty for her and offered compelling testimony. You have come and done the same. I am sorry for what's happened to you and your family, as I'm sorry for what has happened to hers. And this is not a good process, but it's all we've got. And I would just urge my colleagues to recognize that in the end, we are 21 very imperfect senators trying to do our best to provide advice and consent. And in the end, there is likely to be as much doubt as certainty going out of this room today. And that as we make decisions going forward, I hope that people will recognize that. And in the rhetoric that we use and the language that we use going forward, that we'll recognize that, that there is doubt. We'll never move beyond that. And just have a little humility on that front. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Pardon me.
Flake.
I need to
now,
go
Senator
now and
Kennedy.
Do whatever it is Donald
Senator
Trump
Kennedy.
Wants me to do. It's John Catwoman Kennedy.
I'm sorry, Judge, for what you and your family have been through. And I'm sorry for what Dr. Ford and her family have been through.
Oh,
it could have been avoided.
Yeah, they could have brushed this all under the rug.
Do you believe in God?
I do.
You believe in God, or you believe in the real God, or that Catholic God?
I'm going to give you a last opportunity. Right here, right in front of God and country. I want you to look me in the eye. Are Dr. Ford's allegations true?
They're not accurate as to me. I have not questioned that she might have been sexually assaulted at some point in her life by someone, someplace. But as to me, I've never done this. Never. Done this to her or to anyone else. And I've talked to you about
what I remember.
I was doing that summer of 1982, but I'm telling you, I've never done this to anyone, including her.
Are Ms. Ramirez's allegations about you true?
Those are not.
Funny how he inadvertently nodded his head.
None of the witnesses in the room support that. If that had happened, that would have been the talk of campus.
Which it was.
In our freshman dorm.
Which it was.
The New York Times reported that as recently as last week, she was calling other classmates seeking to, well, I'm not going to characterize it, but calling classmates last week and just seemed very, I'll just stop there. But it's not true. It's not true.
Are Ms. Swetnick's allegations made by Mr. Avenatti about you true?
Those are not true. Never met her. Don't know who she is. There's a letter released within 2 hours of that breaking yesterday from, I think, 60 people who knew me in high school, men and women, who said it was, their
really?
Words, nonsense.
60 people. 2 hours.
Totally, you know, the whole thing. That totally ridiculous.
You almost think it was ready to go.
None of these allegations are true.
Correct.
No doubt in your mind.
Zero. I'm 100% certain.
Not even a scintilla.
Not a scintilla. 100% certain, Senator.
You swear to God.
I swear to God.
Oh, well.
That's all I have, Judge.
Judge Kavanaugh, thank you very much. Hearing adjourned.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Damn. I don't really know where to go with the program now. I don't like saying that, but I don't. I know that early on, I wasn't sure if I was watching the final scene of the Caine Mutiny or the final scene of A Few Good Men. Because I'd never seen, you know, outside of Matlock and, Perry Mason, I'd never seen a witness melt down like that. But there it was. He gave his opening statement where Dr. Blasey Ford had struggled to keep it together through the misery and the memories and the hell and the anguish of what she went through. Well, both Mike Pencilneck Geek, the vice president, and Julius Geezer both called him and said, I want you to be tough. I want you to be forceful. And he tried. He was bellowing and shrieking and involuntarily, literally sticking his tongue in his cheek. But then he started crying, and he admitted, as softly as he could, that he drank beer and he likes beer. Well, I like beer. Y'all like beer. We all like beer. That's what he said. And meanwhile, Uday Trump was tweeting how proud he was to see him forcefully rebutting his accusations against an innocent conservative man. So we know that there was coordination in that regard. But I'm willing to guess that Chlamydia Claudius is not real happy with him right now, because Chlamydia Claudius doesn't like drinkers. And Chlamydia Claudius really doesn't like men who cry. And that will out over time. Steve from Georgistan, Prosecutor Mitchell, I prefer to think of her as an inquisitor. What happened to Prosecutor Mitchell? I thought she was supposed to do all the questioning for the Republicans. I guess they gave her the heave-ho. Well, she was walking him through, but as a female asking him a few tough questions, he started coming unglued. And that's when Lindsey Graham jumped in to try to save him. The telling moment in Aunt Lydia's questioning was when she said, what do you consider being drunk? And if you were doing the watch the body language thing, he leaned back in his chair and turned obliquely away from her and said, whatever the chart says. I mean, as supercilious and prep school asshole as you could ever want to see or hear. Whatever the legal limit is.
not exactly a nuanced position for the guy who wants to be on the Supreme Court to be taking. Because even little itty-bitty baby prosecutors know that you can still prosecute and convict someone for driving under the influence of alcohol, even if their blood alcohol content as measured by their breath is lower than the legal limit. You absolutely can do that, and it happens all the time. That's just a matter of presumption. And when he gave that, whatever the chart says, whatever the legal limit says, and threw that shoulder at her, well, that's when it was time for Aunt Lydia to bow out. Meanwhile, Jack in Shreveport says, Kennedy, Jesus fucking Christ, of fucking course, the guy from Louisiana asked to shove religion into the fucking thing. Boo-hoo. What is the fascination with the butt with these people? Don't they have a catchphrase that ends with no means anal? Yes, they do. Yeah, no means yes, yes means anal. That's what his fraternity chanted there on the campus at Yale. Do these religious prep school people dwell on this because it doesn't count as actual sex and it doesn't make Jesus mad? I think the sexual repression that comes with hardcore Roman Catholicism, or for that matter, hardcore Southern Methodism or Southern Baptism, I think that can't help but be seen as playing a part in this. And of course, it's also an act of brutal dominance. And coming from fundamentalist religions, it is an exercise of brutal dominance, especially when it is done against the will. Jack continues and says, man of impeccable character, supportive of women. I wonder what that 17-year-old pregnant immigrant thinks of his character and the support he showed her. As much as he talks about how his life has been affected, I wonder if he considered how that life, her life, was affected. Well, yeah, of course he did. And I'm sure that he considers her a murderer to this day because he follows the official sacred holy teachings of the weirdest corners of the Roman Catholic Church and the stated mainline doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, namely that abortion is a murder. Now, remember, this cat believes that the pill causes abortions, which it doesn't. Steve in New York, swear to God, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I'm surprised he didn't stick his hand out, John Kennedy, and say, pinky swear. And Steve continues and said, the prosecutor, I think she realized that he was a fucking liar and wanted to disappear. Yeah, because see, nobody else's law license was on the line in there, but by God, if she suborned perjury, she could find herself in front of the Arizona State Bar in a Tucson minute. Yeah. I know. Silent R. Lamar says, hey, no fair. Kavanaugh's toes are crossed. Well, there we go. Let's run over and check in Tracy. And I'm going to go ahead and say something. Hey, Tracy, stand by just 1 second.
Okay.
If folks want to yell in on Skype, I don't even know if I can do that anymore. Never mind. Go ahead, Tracy. You there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So, because you and I were going back and forth this morning and this afternoon when this shit show started, and I cannot even explain to you what I am feeling right now. I mean, because most of it, I couldn't watch it because I was driving, so I was listening to it on the radio. But I could hear it in her voice. And when I got home, I was able to watch it. And look at her, especially when, like, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker were talking to her and telling her how brave she was and that she was a true patriot. She was like, she was definitely almost moved to tears because she was like, she's saying, these people believe me. These people aren't calling me a liar. These people aren't, you know, part of the idiots and these vile bastards that are, you know, with the death threats and, you know, probably things so horrible to say, and, you know, that I wouldn't dare repeat them about another woman. Because while I was watching this, you know, last week I recounted about what happened to me, and watching this triggered even further trauma that I had forgotten about. And I was just like, I couldn't, you know, when they talk about, well, if you don't remember where you were, or, you know, specific dates and times and stuff like this. I don't remember how old I was, Bob, but I can tell you, it was before I turned 13. I was probably maybe 11, 12, I don't know. But I can tell you where I was. I was at a bowling alley in Midtown LA, at right next door to the World on Wheels roller skating rink. I can't tell you what I had on, but I can tell you what I was doing. I was playing pinball, and the game was over, and I was just about to get ready to walk away from the pinball machine when this person walked up behind me and put another quarter on the machine. And me being a kid, because, you know, because this was, you know, early, mid-70s, you know, the sexual predators is not something that an 11-year-old at that time would have ever thought about. You know, it was before kids have to go through what they're going through now. And so I put the quarter in the machine, and next thing I know, I have my hands on the side of the pinball machine, and the next thing I know, he has his hands on top of my hands, and he begins to grind against me as I'm playing pinball. I did not know what to do. I just kept playing. I was scared. I was sick. I could feel his breath.
But Tracy, what the thing is, though, unless you could tell Chuck Grassley and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and Precious Lindsay, the exact time and mm-hmm. the exact street address of that bowling alley and the name of the pinball machine and the year of the quarter that was put on the machine, and give a precise physical description of the guy who was standing behind you that you would have had to have seen with eyes in the back of your head, as well as the names, addresses, and social security numbers of every single human being in that bowling alley at that time. Well, obviously, it didn't happen, because that is the kind of scum that they are.
And that's what killed me, because I'm sitting there, and like I said, I hadn't thought about what happened, and I was thinking, and, you know, this is decades. I'm 50 fucking 2 years old. So this is decades ago. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this happened to me. And the whole time, and he kept putting quarter after quarter after quarter. And I don't remember how long it went on, but I know it happened. I was there. I was so scared. And then a part of me now is wondering, did anybody see what was going on? Did anybody see the tears coming down my cheeks? Did anybody see the visible expression of fear on my face?
Right. But even if they did see that, if they don't remember now that they saw it then, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
At least it
didn't happen. it didn't happen. And that's what they kept saying over and over again about the party. Well, they said that, you know, well, they didn't see it happen. It didn't, and it's like, but they weren't upstairs in the room. So how would they know it happened? She didn't say to anybody, she never said once in her testimony that when she came downstairs, she told people what happened. She did not say that she told anybody what happened. So how would they know what was happening? But the person that was upstairs in the room with him, them, Mark Judge, who was laughing with Kavanaugh as this was going on, he has yet to testify. No one has questioned him. A fucking letter signed, big F, B motherfucking FD. You know? So what if he wrote a letter signed by his attorney? And as every single Democratic senator pointed out, why, if this is so true, why hasn't he been questioned? Why hasn't he come up for, why isn't he there testifying if it's not true? Because it happened. And this feigned concern about Dr. Ford is sickening. It is so, it is vile, it's contemptuous, it's just beyond, I can't even come up with words. It's times like this that I wish my vocabulary was bigger, but it's just, I cannot wrap my head around. I knew these people were evil. I knew they were disgusting. I knew this going in. But I didn't realize the depth.
No offense, but we all knew it going in, Tracy, because it's Republicans doing what Republicans do. I mean, this is Anita Hill redux, only manifestly worse, because we're not talking about a grown woman. We are talking about a child. Okay, that's who the Republican Party are. All of their family values and all of their upstanding Christian piety. Well, as Mayella says in To Kill a Mockingbird, in an exactly almost opposite situation, it don't come to nothing, Mr. Finch. It don't come to nothing.
Exactly. It was like being kicked in the gut. And, you know, when they come out and keep saying, well, why didn't you report? And all, what she's going through is why women don't report. There was another thing that I triggered when, another time, I mean, when I was a little girl and I was in the swimming pool with my uncle and he fondled me. And I, you know, didn't say anything to anybody. Decades later, when my brother lived up north, he was in the air, when he was still in the Air Force, he was stationed at Vandenberg Air Force Base. And it was, you know, his retirement party. And somebody wanted me to drive my uncle, and I was going to be in the car with him by myself up to basically Santa Barbara. And I said, no. And I, you know, because at that moment when they asked me, it triggered. And of course, everybody, you know, because I could be a very difficult person. And they're just like, oh, you're just being, you know, what's the problem? And I'm like, because the motherfucker has molested me. And that just, and at that point, they left it alone. But I didn't remember it. I did it like most women do. We push that shit into our subconscious and bury it. Well, it would never be seen again. And when they asked me to ride alone in a car with that man, it came flooding back. And I'm like, no, there is no fucking way that I'm going to be alone anywhere with this man. Now,
I am amazed. I'm amazed that you can drive a cab, Tracy.
I am too at times. I am too. Because it's like, you know, but it's so funny that you say that, because in the years that I've been doing this, I have never, there's only been one time that I felt threatened. But for the most part, I never felt threatened. But this man, when they said for him to ride along with me, I'm like, I can't, no. There's just, no, I can't do this. And when I said why, like I said, it just went away. I've never confronted my uncle about it. Nobody ever said anything to him about it, and I just left it alone. But again, there are millions of women right now in this country who are reliving all these subconscious memories, all these things, these repressed memories that haven't, no one thought about for decades are coming back. A friend of mine was telling me that her mother, who is now 80 years old, just told her recently about the fact that the reason why she never met her grandfather is because he raped her. So it's like this woman 60 years, I mean, not even like 70 years ago, was raped by her father. And it's taken her 70 years to even talk about it to her own child.
Oh, and while we're at it, they tried real hard to keep from the nasty old creepy white men from of the Republican half of that committee from embarrassing themselves and showing themselves to be exactly who they are. But by God, you can't keep a dirty man down, and consequently, so here comes nasty old Orrin Hatch.
Oh my God.
Who told, I kid you not, who told Dr. Ford at the end of her testimony that she was attractive.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And when somebody said, what in God's name do you mean by that? He said, I mean that she's pleasing. Sometimes events themselves, we can go past the use of the word trigger because it's not enough. Sometimes, like what these Republicans did today was sort of a, and I hate to say it, it was a re-rape.
Yes,
there were women and men all over America today who felt some sort of a duty of conscience to bear witness to what Dr. Ford went through at the hands of Brett Kavanaugh. And they did so at extreme cost to themselves, because in listening to her, they had to relive what had been done to them. And as I watched her testimony unfold, Agnes and I sat together watching it. And the little hairs stood up on the back of my neck. And I felt a cold chill run over me. And I felt sick and angry and frightened and filled with rage all at the same time. And not just for obvious reasons, but for other reasons that have occurred inside my and our lives. And don't think for a minute that even though, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, and if it makes you, I'm not trying to make you angry, even though this man will be confirmed to the Supreme Court, and make no mistake, he will be confirmed to the Supreme Court. He will not have the respect that is due a member of that body any more than Slappy Thomas does. There's a reason Slappy Thomas never writes an opinion, or hardly ever writes an opinion. There absolutely is a reason. Now, Neil Gorsuch jumped right out there and started assholing right off the bat and trying to lecture people and got his ass handed to him by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. When Brett Kavanaugh gets up there, it might be a long damn time before he writes a goddamn word other than "I concur" or signs his name on whatever it is that Roberts tells him to sign off on. And that in its own right will be a sort of victory, because he, in the name of Jesus, wants, aches, yearns to get up there to the Supreme Court so he can tell the women folk to sit down and shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing we got today, if we didn't find out anything else, and again, let me, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to filibuster on you, Tracy. But we saw in his behavior, which of course the Republicans will excuse as being righteous anger, we saw a belligerent, privileged, functioning
prick.
Alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind saying this. You want to talk about worrying about somebody? Yeah, I'm worried about what the maggots will try to do to Dr. Blasey Ford. But you know who I'm more worried about than anybody else?
Who?
Those two poor little girls of his.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what happens when the door closes behind him in that $1 million house he lives in. But I sat there
trying to figure out how he can afford that house on what he makes.
I sat there and I watched his wife. And I kind of relied on Agnes for this too. I said, does that look like a wife who loves her husband and is infuriated by what they're being put through? Because if looks could kill, she would have sent Brett Kavanaugh away in pieces in a basket. She was looking daggers at him. She was looking, Brett, you told me none of this would ever come up and hurt us.
So much for that.
And you got to worry about those little girls when daddy gets a snoot full.
That's too, you know, when he was going on and on about, you know, how well he did in school and, you know, his athletic prowess and yada, yada, fucking yada. Because he's basically saying, well, if I was a drunk, I couldn't do all these things. And like you said, it's such a thing as a functioning alcoholic. I know several that they can drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. And you would never know that they were drunk. They go to work. They go to school.
Until they get angry.
Until they get angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Tracy.
Until they get angry.
Tracy, will you stand by for a minute? I want to bring
sure.
Steve from New York in over on the stress line. Are you there, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. 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 Okay. You're loud and clear, man.
Yeah. I will say this. I watched parts of it because I just couldn't watch the whole thing. And a couple observation things that came into my mind was I just found the whole thing disgusting. And frankly, that's the only word I can think. I don't have a word that means something disgusting. What that word means to really relay where I was going with this, or what my thoughts were. And I will say this is, if I thought that the GOP had was redeemable, that sense went completely out the window today for me. And given the fact that I spent much of my youth up until my mid-20s being a a Republican, fairly staunch, worked for a member of Congress who was a member of the GOP. I was a call-through writer on the Bill Kemp campaign. I thought to myself, how could I ever have been the least bit allied with these people? And another thing that came to my mind was this notion of, oh, well, we're in such, you know, the Republican Party, you know, it's not the Republican Party, it's the Trump Party. If you look up on that, you know.
It wasn't the Trump Party when they did it to Anita Hill, was it?
Bingo. That's exactly what went through my mind. It's not like, I thought, you know, it's not like Grassley and Anal Hatch and Cornyn haven't been there a million years. And, you know, this is the same party that, well, I think everything changed when Reagan got elected. My grandmother was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, small town, but she was an Eisenhower Republican, and I just see such a difference in the tenor, the tone of what my grandmother was versus what these people are. And then the other thing that kept going through my mind was, gee, I wonder why women don't report this. Look how well we've treated this one.
Exactly. Well, let me take things over toward something slightly more prosaic because it speaks to your experience, Steve. You do and have done trial work, correct?
I've done some, but not a whole lot.
Have you ever seen a judge behave from the bench the way that Kavanaugh behaved today before the Senate?
No.
Most states have a judicial commission that monitors the ethical behavior of its judges. What would a commission on what would a judicial commission do if a judge was heard to shriek and rant and bawl and bleat from the bench like Brett Kavanaugh did today in the Senate?
In New York, I'm not so sure anything. In a state that had a legitimate legal system, and that's a whole other issue that I have with New York, he probably would have been disciplined, and if there were not a mechanism to remove that person from office, the administrative judge would have taken all of his cases away.
You said you didn't watch at all, Tracy. I'm not sure if you caught this or not, but there was a moment. Senator Klobuchar questioned him, and she made it clear to him on the front end that her daddy had been very much an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah, I heard
and,
that part.
And that it had taken a terrible toll on her family and on him. And she simply she asked him some questions about drinking. And that's where part of where we got the, I like beer, you like beer? And she pressed on and she said, have you ever gotten drunk enough to get sick? And he looked at her. And he sneered. Have you? And all of a sudden, Judge Kavanaugh needed a breaky.
Mm-hmm. Who said that to her? Have you?
And then when they came back, lo and behold, he was all contrite because in the space between, somebody handed him a note written on yellow paper.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
And I'm guaranteeing you, written on that note was something along the lines of, you stupid fucker. You're about to torpedo your own nomination. And the guy, meanwhile, had been swilling water like somebody who had pounded a fifth a few hours before. And all of a sudden, he came back and he was chastened. And instead of the belligerent, shrieking, howling, bleeding, B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G, Kavanaugh we had been subjected to previously, he was almost contrite and he went back into that rope-a-dope he played where he tried to answer every question by explaining what the question was really was that was asked of him, trying to play out the clock. And I can't, you know, I just have this vision of him hearing, say, a case brought by Planned Parenthood and wondering how far it would take, how far you'd have to push him. And I really do wonder, Steve, and I'd appreciate your input. I wonder what this will do to the court. What happens the first time that he asks a litigant a question and they just ignore him? The woman just ignores him. Anybody else got a question? I don't talk to rapists. That would come damn near to bringing it would certainly bring the world down around that lawyer's ears, but it might goddamn well bring it down around the Supreme Court's too. And there is reason to be afraid of that, Steve. Am I being crazy?
No, you saw it today. I can never imagine any nominee. It's just another example of how shitbag in the White House and the maggots have completely destroyed any sense of custom that we might have had. I'll say one other thing. To me, the most poignant questioning or the most telling was when Senator Durbin asked about, you know, basically said, look, you said you want to do anything to clear your name. Why don't you just ask for an FBI investigation? And the look on his face was, I mean, I watched Sam Cedar. Sam made a very poignant comment about that. He said, look on Kavanaugh's face was almost like, oh, shit, when we prepped, they didn't tell me that. They didn't ask that. And then he went with this whole mishigas about, I'll do what the committee wants and blah, 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 blah. And I thought at that moment, it became very clear he had everything. He has everything to hide. Because he really was concerned about clearing his name. He would say, you know what, it's fine. You know, we have four people who say that they don't remember it. They say they weren't there. They say it didn't happen. Fine. Interview them. See what they say. And, you know, that also segues into, you know, what I thought about what the GOP kept doing was, what do I say is that when someone denies a question not asked, that tells me they're lying. And they kept saying to the investigation, well, the FBI doesn't come to conclusions. And the point, and nobody said that they were going to come to a conclusion. You know, if the FBI goes and they interview people, and depending upon what they say, they sound credible, they don't sound credible, you bring them in, you ask them questions, and that's the end of it. It's an investigative process, you know. Nobody.
Took a lot of gall for him to throw Mark Judge under the bus, though, and he did it.
Oh, I know it. I thought the same thing. I thought, wow, you know what? How listen to you, and then you tell this story about, oh, well, he was, you know, he was just a drunk who it was just a bunch of lies, and oh, that poor guy. And I thought, you know, and with Kavanaugh, what happened today was just, it was icing on the cake of everything else. Look, it's not like this guy had no issues and then all of a sudden this came up. You know, whether it's the stuff that he, you know, the emails that he stole and was trafficking in from the Democrats, how when Senator Leahy questioned him. And it's just this myriad of slime and sleaze and scum and, you know, all of that. And I'm kind of, I feel like I'm kind of spitballing here or being a little random. Something else that occurred to me, and this may not be very popular with a lot of people. If he would have come out and said, you know what, a couple things. If at some point he would have said, you know what, I don't really remember what happened, but it sounds credible, and I feel sorry about this, and showed remorse, and it tried to explain and demonstrate that, you know, I've grown up since being in high school. Or if he says, yeah, I did it, it happened, I've grown beyond. You know, I could at least give a little credit there. And then another thing, I have a very good friend of mine who is a school psychologist, a child psychologist in the school system up here. And he was talking about it, and he and my friend Bill, God loving, is a little bit more on the forgiving side than I am. But he made a comment, and he said, you know, kids say shit in school. But he said, this guy seemed to take it way further than you would expect even an adolescent to take it. You know, they may comment, they may say things, but putting a hand over a woman's mouth, turning the stereo up so people couldn't hear, even for a high schooler who, you know, is just beginning to have, you know, develop a moral system or a moral code or a moral sense, that's even beyond that.
I've got more questions, but I don't, Tracy, I want to make sure that you're not shut out of this.
No, I was just listening to Steve, but I, you know, my thing is, you know, because Steve has that, you know, because he's a lawyer, and so he can talk about it on, you know, what he's seeing on a legal, you know, he has to look at this through a legal lens, and I'm finding it, I'm just listening, going, like you said, I don't think there's nothing, the more I listen to this and the more that I'm scrolling on Google and listening, I really, like you feel that he's going to be confirmed no matter what. And I think you say the other day about, you know, at the beginning of the sessions or what have you, there's always this, the justices take a picture, all of them together, and wouldn't it be amazing if Kagan and Sotomayor and the amazing RBG just say, I am not getting in this picture with this motherfucker here.
Well, let me ask you a question if I could, Tracy, and
sure.
Forgive me for it in advance, but if a nominee of color had behaved anywhere within the same area code or zip code of how Kavanaugh behaved today, do you think we would be talking about a viable nomination at this point?
No. I mean, the only reason why...
I'm sorry I'm laughing.
The only reason why, like you said, Slappy Thomas got away with what he got away with is because it was a different time. There was no such thing, you know, sexual harassment wasn't even something that was, of course it happened, but people weren't coming forward. You didn't have lawsuits and all this and, you know, the aftermath of, you know, sensitivity training and all these things weren't part of the purview back then. But now, a brother, first of all, a brother wouldn't be like, if we're talking with the current, you know, climate with who's in, you know, who's in office, a brother wouldn't have even been nominated. Let's get that there. But even if they had, there's no way. There's no way because, see, especially had his accuser been a white woman. Could you imagine that? Let's just go for shits and grins and giggles. What color is the accuser? Because with, you know, with Clarence Thomas, it was a black woman. And you know black women are lying hoes anyway, so of course, you know, they're not supportive of black men, they're angry.
Well, you know, sexual, you know, sexual maniacs and, right, yeah.
You know, hoes
wild
and
women.
Tramps and blah, blah. Wild women and, you know, blah, blah, fucking blah. Now, let's just think about how this would have played out 20-something years ago had Anita Hill been a white woman. Do you think Clarence Thomas would be a Supreme Court justice too?
No.
Because then you have that thing that has been going on since the beginning of time about, you know, that fear of black men raping white women, and because that's how they justified lynching hundreds of black men from, you know, for years in this country because, you know, rape. So had Anita Hill been a white woman, there would be no such person as Judge Clarence Thomas, Justice, rather, Clarence Thomas. And the same here. If he still might be confirmed. He just may, you know, if Dr. Blasey Ford was a black woman and he was a black man. But Dr. Blasey Ford is a white woman. And if the Supreme Court nominee had been a brother, we wouldn't have gotten this far. There would be FBI investigations. I mean, they would have stopped everything. You know, brakes would have been pumped. The brakes would have been pumped, pressed so hard that there would have been skid marks on the road. I mean, I'm just saying. Do I hear a disagreement on that one?
No, and you know, look, I saw in his bellicose opening. You know, there was this notion that he had torn up his previous and written it all out himself, you know, just the day before. And well, curiously, mm-hmm. he had phone calls from Pence and Trump just the day before. And we know Trump likes to dictate language. And there was an almost Trumpian cadence to his language early on. And I couldn't help but notice that. But you know, the business with the screaming and the carrying on was for Trump's benefit, and in particular for Trump's benefit was the paranoid claim that the Clintons were out to get him. I mean, Jesus Christ, that could have come from a transcript of the Rush Limbaugh program, or you know, or a campaign rally of Donald Trump. He was playing, because look, he knows what the vote count's going to be in that committee. Jeff Flake can take all of his bullshit yakking about civility, roll it up nice and tight, turn it sideways, and shove it up his own ass, because he's going to vote. He's going to vote in favor of Ball and Brett. And it's going to pass out of committee by one vote, and then it will be confirmed in the Senate. And so all Kavanaugh had to do was make sure that Trump didn't withdraw the nomination prematurely. So he puts some Trumpy language
into his shrieking introduction. And pardon me.
Yep.
Pardon me if the idea, if I was not impressed by the idea that somehow or another his life has been ruined. Nobody's coming to throw him out of his million-dollar home. Nobody's carrying his children away to put him in cages in a concentration camp. Well, I may never be able to teach again. You know what he's worried about? Maybe all of a sudden people give second thoughts to wanting their daughters working for him. And the other thing, I can't work anywhere now, so I guess my only hope is go have a lifetime job on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be nice if this was one of those 1930s Frank Capra movies, and all of a sudden, having been through what he's been through, he goes up on the court and turns into a human being when all the odds were against that. But you know what? That's why it's in the movies, because it doesn't happen in real life.
Nope. It does not. You know, wouldn't it be the biggest con game in the world that, like you said, if all of a sudden, he's been, playing the con, say, really, I'm a liberal, I'm a Bernie Sanders Democrat, socialist Democrat, and I just faked y'all out just so I can get the nomination.
Psych.
that would be awesome, but we know that's not going to happen. We know that that this man is vile. We know that this man is probably, like you said, a mean drunk. Because if the way he was screaming and ranting and raving, and he's allegedly sober at this point. What the fuck is he like when he's been drinking?
Well, I think there's an abundance of evidence out there that shows what he's like when he's drinking. Like the email where he apologizes for getting filled with rage over losing some gambling game. And by the way, speaking of not a good look, when you've been credibly accused, not just of rape, but when you've been credibly accused of having a gambling problem and some pretty spotty finances, using the phrase "Senator, I'm all in,"
yeah,
not a good look.
That was probably not a good look. No, it's like I'm all in. You got a gambling problem, sweetie.
Meanwhile, Steve from Georgia Stan just provided me with the latest tweet from Julius Geezer.
Oh.
6:46 p.m. Judge Kavanaugh showed America exactly why I nominated him. His testimony was powerful, honest, and riveting. Democrats' search and destroy strategy is disgraceful, and this process has been a total sham and effort to delay, obstruct, and resist. The Senate must vote. And the Senate's going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate is going to vote on confirming the man that Donald Trump picked to cover his filthy, corrupt, Russian-owned ass. Oh, and by the way, Irwin wants to know what you made of Lindsay's... Bill Cosby comment.
I was driving.
I took that as being. At least he's not a Negro.
At least he's not a nigger. No, he wouldn't say Negro, baby. You know what he would have said. But when he said that, I'm like,
oh no, really? He didn't. Yeah.
Oh no, he didn't. I'm just like, you're. I mean, the comparison, and I'm like, well, the only difference between Kavanaugh and Bill Cosby is Kavanaugh hasn't been prosecuted. So he's a predator, and Bill Cosby's a predator. I mean, I was just reading this. This so happens out when you. I was just reading an article about Bill Cosby and how, you know, there's so many people doing the comparisons, like, well, how come, you know, everybody's so against Bill Cosby and, you know, throwing out Weinstein and Woody Allen and, you know, justice isn't fair and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, it's fair. I mean, see, Bill Cosby is one of these black people like O.J. Simpson and Kanye West and Michael Jackson who did not remember that they were black. And so when you have been over the last 40 or 50 some odd years, I mean, he was fortunate in the fact that he has enough money and power that for years this shit has been covered up. But not anymore. Because when they first came to trial, it was before the Me Too movement, and now we have the Me Too movement. This shit's not going to apply anymore. And for Lindsey Graham, you know, to try to say that, you know, well, at least she's not as bad as Bill Cosby, because that's what I got from it. Did you know what you got from it?
Yeah, right. At least he ain't black.
He
may be a rapist, but he's not a black rapist. I mean, come on.
And
by the way, here's a fun little fact. Back in 2013, the Senate voted on the Violence Against Women Act.
Right, and who said nay?
Well, here we have the roll call. Mr. Grassley, Mr. Grassley, nay. Mr. Hatch. Mr. Hatch, nay. Mr. Graham, Mr. Graham, nay. Mr. Cornyn, nay. Mr. Lee, nay. Mr. Cruz, nay. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Hey, Steve, can I ask you another question, buddy?
Sure, and let me make a quick comment.
Sure.
You know, well, you know, were you a drunk? Well, I was very smart, yada, yada, yada. I'll tell you something. I won't get into too many details because this could, you know, make me liable. But my mom's second husband back in Ohio was in this particular field of law, was the first one in the entire, you know, to practice in that area. Mom divorced him when she found out that he was a real bad drunk and alcoholic. I witnessed it. I saw it. But the guy was brilliant. So this notion that, you know, just because you're a drunk or alcoholic means that you're slobbering all over yourself all the time is garbage.
Yeah, you're not Otis from Mayberry just because you're an alcoholic.
Right.
I mean, the term high functioning alcoholic is a term for a reason.
Mm-hmm. And that's Kavanaugh.
That's the sense that I get, and he is unbearable when he drinks.
Yeah, I kind of got that sense too.
There's that list of old rejected Dr. Seuss titles. And one of them is Daddy Drinks Because You Cry. I thought of that today when I was looking at him. And especially when I was looking at the way, when I was looking at the way his wife looked at him.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I mean, that's the look of a woman who's already talked to a divorce lawyer. Maybe that's what he meant when he said his life was over. Maybe that's what the plaintive bleating about his love for his daughters was. And oh my God, I thought I was gonna lose lunch when and my little Liza said, "Daddy, let's pray for that woman." Why does a little girl say that? What has she heard?
Why does Brett Kavanaugh's victim need to be prayed for?
Exactly. It makes me think, like you said about a divorce lawyer, all the episodes of Law and Order Special Victim Unit that I have, watched over the last 20 years. I still can't believe it's been 20 years. But there was always at least one or two episodes a season when, you know, the wife of the accused really comes to realize who she's married to. And the next thing you know, she's looking for a divorce lawyer. You know, and it's like because they over, you know, it's like being married.
Or maybe it's, hey, you don't make it up there. I don't stick around.
That's true, too.
So
I'm done.
That'll be sort of a watch this space going forward. And he wasn't married till he was, what, 40? And she's how much younger than him?
Yeah, how much younger is she?
I'd like to know when they got married versus when those kids were born.
But Steve, let me ask you, was there anything, if anybody was to drill down, I mean, this was sworn testimony in front of the Senate, and I kept hearing today all day long, well, the FBI said they couldn't investigate because there wasn't no federal crime. Perjury in a Senate setting inside Washington, D.C. would trigger federal jurisdiction, wouldn't it?
Hello?
Yeah. What I asked is perjury before the Senate would trigger federal jurisdiction, would it not?
Well, I would say of course, because because it happened in a completely federal context. I'm not saying that it would preclude D.C. jurisdiction, but I would say that yeah, of course it does. But I mean, what you know?
Because the really big sore thumb that just keeps throbbing is you know Mark Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to talk his way around Bart O'Kavanaugh by saying, well, you know, poor Mark became a hopeless alcoholic. Not like me. I'm not an alcoholic. Poor Mark's an alcoholic. He tried to working through his disease, and he tried to, you know, make it more personal for him, and I could see the bus tracks just going right up Mark Judge's back.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem, though, is that Mark Judge has a history of writing some really shitty, tawdry, right-wing filth. You know, the thing is, there's not that much, there's zero philosophical difference between Mark Judge and Brett Kavanaugh. They are both hyper-partisan political hatchet men. And not to get all paranoid or anything, I will not be surprised if we hear in the next year or so that Mark Judge has died in a tragic auto accident.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that he's actually in Mexico?
No, he's in Delaware.
Oh, okay.
So here's the hockey puck thing. I just saw something on Twitter. Sarah Sanders at Lindsey Graham SC has more decency and courage than every Democrat member of the committee combined. God bless them. And then on the Hill, their Twitter account said, if Brett Kavanaugh can be this angry on national TV, imagine what he's like when he gets inebriated.
And we know he gets inebriated because he would not admit that he'd quit drinking.
Mm-mm.
It sounds like my mom's second husband. My mom's second husband used to drink multiple gin martinis when he would come home.
And look, you know, he reiterated time after time after time about how I worked my butt off, I worked my tail off. You know, I wasn't a legacy. I didn't get into Yale on my legacy. I went, you know, and you know, I was near the top of my high school class, and blah 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 blah. Cry me a goddamn river. But, I'll grant him that he's probably intelligent. You know, unless you're a Bush, you don't get into Yale Law on your name alone, or Harvard. But the fact of the matter is, as often as not, heavy binge drinking, high functioning alcoholism goes hand in glove with genius. The problem is, then it turns the genius into an evil genius. It's not like, and because, see, there was an inherent slur in there also on people who have made legitimate efforts to deal with alcoholism. However they did it, 12-step program, whatever. There was a slur there, because the implication was that he couldn't possibly be an alcoholic because he's so goddamn brilliantly bright.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means that everybody else who suffers from alcoholism is some sort of idiot derelict.
Mm-hmm.
When nothing could be further from the truth, and in fact, the exact opposite may be true. You know, they say that the saddest people on earth are the comedians. And that everybody's so busy laughing at what they say, nobody ever asks them if they're hurting.
Case in point, Robin Williams.
Case in point, Bill Hicks. Or what people like Peter O'Toole would say about drinking. That when you come off the stage, there's so much adrenaline running through you that you can't hardly stand yourself because of the fever pitch you've worked yourself into, and you've got to find some way to get yourself back down to earth. Or what Eddie Van Halen has said. Eddie Van Halen said, you know, brilliant, I mean, you know, son of a brilliant musician. The first time he ever performed in public, up until, you know, way, 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 way up into, maybe even past the end of Van Halen, he never performed sober, not one time. Because he couldn't stand the spiritual and intellectual and artistic pressures that came to bear on him in an unaltered state. And you know, that's another damnation upon the Republicans. This notion, because they constantly give themselves away, that alcoholism is not a disease, but rather it is some sort of moral failing.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to step off and listen so I can give somebody else an opportunity to call in.
Okay, thanks, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. And Tracy, thank you for your wisdom.
Yes, ladies.
And sharing what is obviously extremely painful. I can tell you, I really appreciate hearing it, and glad that you at least feel comfortable to say it, you know, in this forum. And I, you know, I'm very, very grateful that you do that, because offers those on the male side of things a perspective that we all too frequently ignore or don't get.
Well, it's because this is a safe space for me. And it's healing and it's cleansing. And like I said before, you know, when I think about my life and what I've gone through in my life and how there's so many times, like I said, when I disappear from you guys, I'm reliving things. And I feel like my life, my power has been taken away. My life force has been sucked out. And it is hard for me to move on with my life. And when I see people, women who have survived and, you know, have gone on and still were able to continue with their education and everything, I tip my hat to them. I bow down to them. I'm in awe of them. And not taking anything away from my struggle, but I still have a lot of healing to do. And I just hope that one day I get to that point where I can feel whole again. Mm-hmm. I mean, because when you've gone through pretty much every decade of your life, and at some point there's been some sort of sexual assault, rape, molestation, whatever the case may be, it gets to that point where you can't function. And you lay on that couch for me at one point for 5 years, and it hurt so much that I couldn't breathe. So it is no joke. This is why what Dr. Ford is going through. I feel her, I understand her, and I know I because I am her. And so thank you. And like you, because a man, unless they have been sexually assaulted, they will never know. And especially in the culture that we have, that even as women, we have been raised in to, you know, especially like on the cases of date rape and where a woman blames herself, or in some cases she knows she was raped, and especially in the Black community where they don't want, you know, well, maybe it was a misunderstanding, but I don't want to get him in trouble because of what America has done to Black men. And so there's this perpetual thing of avoidance, of denial, and a lot of things. And it's cultural at times where you don't say anything. And that makes it even worse. Because until women feel safe enough to come forward, it will continue. So thank you for what you said, Steve. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Like I say, I'm gonna step off and continue listening. So
okay, have a great evening, my friend.
My best to both of you. Yes, we will talk tomorrow.
All right, Friday on the front porch.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Friday on the front porch.
All right.
Nope.
Later, Steve.
Bye bye.
So that means
I got a great tweet. Here's one you're gonna love. Somebody named T Pain. He wrote, "Republicans expected a shrieking hysterical witness today, and Brett Kavanaugh didn't disappoint."
Exactly. Egg-damn-zactly. By the way, thanks to Robert up near Morgantown, Ashley, Mrs. Kavanaugh is 9 years younger than Braying Brett.
And they've only been married since 2004.
Yeah, 14 years. So I imagine she might be right pissed. Note coming from our buddy Chris in the Northwest Territories. The appointee to the U.S. Supreme Court hides behind much ego. The alcohol is filling a void of self. Perhaps in the same way his attacks on women is the need for control and the exercise for power and adrenaline, his need to come down from alcohol must be quite a ride and return to the functioning alcoholic. He has got to have, Chris says, anger issues.
Exactly. He has to. I mean, you can't be as, I mean, we already saw that he has anger issues by the way he reacted to when he was questioned by the senator, the Democratic senator. So, again, like, and we already know what he's like when he's drinking because people have said so. And yet, none of these people are, you know, when he kept saying, well, 64 people have women and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, and don't forget the dark and sinister smear of the guy who said that he's a sloppy drunk. Well, you know, there's secret stuff I don't want to go into here, but you need to read the redacted report. And those two just didn't get along. And then I got this. Let me get to the, let's see. This won't take but a second. Why, yes, there it is. Enter Fox News contributor Kevin Jackson. Ever heard of Kevin Jackson, Tracy?
No, I just the only thing I could, when you said Fox News commentator, I was already done.
Yeah, this isn't going to be any
That's
fun.
That's why I was moaning.
This is the kind of guy that defends Brett Kavanaugh. Dear God, hold on. Oh, sounds like is Donald Trump sending text messages?
No, it's my computer is a taxi. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Kevin Jackson has hosted Outnumbered and Fox and Fiends, and he took to Twitter and completely came unglued. He went on a Dr. Ford bashing binge earlier today on Twitter. He said, speaking of Dr. Ford, that her academic problems that she discussed in her first couple of years of college at the University of North Carolina, he said that came from her promiscuity. But we're not done. He said leftist women are skanky. But we still aren't done. Feminists are their own worst enemies and enemy of women. Also, they want men to never be believed. I'm not succumbing. To hell with the notion that women must be believed no matter what. Lying skanks is what these three women are, and we all know more. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Blasey Ford, academic problems came from her promiscuity. Dang, girl. Stop opening your legs and open a book.
Oh, okay.
If there's a happy ending, Fox News canned him this afternoon. But, yeah. That's your...
Wow.
That's your professional right-wing media there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well...
By the way, in case anybody's wondering, today I opted, thanks to Brother Deacon Asa yesterday,
Last night I went for the luscious lavender bleach for my bleach shower.
Yeah, I heard. How was it?
Well, you know, it's still a bleach shower, but, you know, at least you get clean, and I kind of like, but today I decided to splurge again, and this evening's post-program bleach shower will be Mountain Meadow Freshness.
Ooh,
yes.
Sexy.
Yes. So, you know, if you got a shower with bleach and you can afford it, you don't necessarily have to buy the Wiggling Pig brand, and you can go for the real pretty smelling stuff.
I have to mix, you know, the way this is going, I think you have to mix your bleach with a little bit of pine salt, too.
Not a bad idea if you like that. If you like that piney outdoor scent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can see that.
I mean. I know it could be, you know, a toxic gas or form, but the way I'm feeling, you know, I want to throw some ammonia in.
Might not be a bad buzz. Under the circumstances.
You know, you know things are bad when we're talking about poisoning ourselves with toxic fumes just to get through the day, Bob.
Well, I don't have any of the high quality toxic fumes. I mean, we haven't legalized either medical or recreational cannabis here yet. So, and
right.
Look, hey, I made it through the day without diving head first or putting the swirly straw in a bottle of Two Fingers or anything like that. So, to a certain extent, I guess I have to call it a win.
Mm-hmm. Hey, on another note, never underestimate the power of racism. So I was at the gas station this morning, pumping gas, you know, and this white guy was walking around because he needed help, you know, running for gas. And there was I was the only black person in the whole gas station, and I'm standing there going, "Watch, you won't ask come anywhere near me." He asked everybody around me, never even asked me, and I'm like, wow. It just tickled me because I'm thinking to myself, see, I would have helped him, you know, because everybody that he asked said no, and I wouldn't have helped him. But he was so caught up in, well, I don't know if it was just prejudice, racism, or whatever the case may be, that he did not even, you know, approach me, didn't even look me in the eye. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you'd rather have no gas in your car than come ask a black woman for help. I just laughed at myself. I mean, I laughed at him, and I just, you know, I filled up my tank and went on about my business. But I'm just thinking, wow, really? It's right up there with the, you know, with the Republicans and the poor white Republicans in states like yours and other places who continue to vote for Republicans, and they slash social programs, and they vote against health care and all these things, but they keep voting for them. And it just never ceases to amaze me just how racist people are. You know, right up there with that cut off your nose to spite your face kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I'm like, wow, you're an idiot.
And by the way, you're making people feel better just by the way you laugh, Tracy. Anatole in the chat room said, "I love it when Tracy laughs." Meanwhile, going back to why Kavanaugh's little daughter said, "Daddy, let's pray for that nasty woman." Kevin in Colorado Springs has a theory. Reason one, she's heard from her family, most probably especially her father, that the woman is an evil person who we have to pray for so that she can be saved from her sins. Or two, she feels sympathy for the woman because she believes the woman even over her father, and while she's still too young to understand the implications of what it would mean to her family,
She understands enough to realize that something wrong happened to the woman and is wanting to express her sympathy for her. Because, you know, there's another story that came out a couple of days ago. W's treasurer, a woman of color, recently noted in a publication that when she was vetted by the FBI for her high-level federal position, that she did not disclose her rape to the FBI. And I can't begin to note how many women have said 17, 18, 30 years, 40 years, like the octogenarian you were talking about. Because it's
Exactly. Because
it's abundantly clear, you know, by comparison, well, you know, at least we don't honor murder them. That's a pretty low bar to get over.
Yeah.
But we will damn sure go a long way toward ruining them instead of manifesting the degree of sympathy that and understanding and nay perhaps empathy that we should.
No, that would be too much like right. But I was going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to hold what I'm going to say. God damn it. Oh, well. I just, trauma is real. And I just think about how hard it is for me to form relationships and maintain relationships. How even, you know, Greg, I love my wife and Sharp, me, but it is hard for me at times to show emotion or express anything, because a lot of times I'm numb on the inside. And when you feel dead on the inside, you don't care. You don't give a damn about anybody or especially yourself. And I have these moments when I do have joy, because it's been so fleeting. And I cherish those moments because they don't come as often as they used to. And when, you know, I think about when this happened to me, and I just think, my God, you know, What would have happened had I reported? And I can't even, I mean, like I told stories about what happened when I told my mother about my stepfather. The worst part about what happened between me and my stepfather, which went on for 5 years, was not that my mother believed me, but she did nothing. And that was the worst betrayal. I would have rather her not believe me. But for her to believe me and didn't do anything to protect me or didn't do anything to hurt him, and it's like, wow. So, you know, I beg my male horn brother, my horn brothers, if you know somebody that's gone through this, or even suspect that somebody has gone through this, just let them feel safe enough to feel like they can breathe. Let them understand, you know, because just be there for when they finally are able to exhale. Because there's so many times that I feel like I'm holding my breath and waiting for the other shoe to drop. Just be there and understand that boys will be boys bullshit is not a thing. That, you know, there. I mean, let me just throw there's some innocent things that happen with kids. It's exploration and stuff like that. Those, you know, the innocent stuff like that. But when it comes to a violent sexual assault, or when a woman says no, or when a woman says, I don't like what you're saying or doing to me, get out of your man head and think about what I'm talking about and what Dr. Ford has gone through and what so many other people have gone through, and teach your sons the same thing. And maybe things will get better. Was I rambling?
No, that's anything but rambling.
Okay, because I ramble.
No, you're good.
So anyway, on that note, I love you guys. Good night. Be well. I'll be listening to the rest of the show. And Bob, I love you so very, very much.
Well, thank you, Tracy. The feeling's mutual.
Thank you for being who you are. And for the horn and allowing people to have conversations that need to be had. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, dear. You have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye now.
I will. Bye.
That is one strong woman. And I'm proud that she is a member of our community and our little family and a friend. Alexander with a remark regarding Kevin Jackson. What a goddamn shame to have your nose so far up the ass of your massa that you will do and say anything and everything to win his white seal of approval. And a fucking dollar as a direct result. Stupid mother. I do not feel bad for him in the slightest bit, him getting fired. Open a book instead of your legs. Because, you know, that's how rape happens. Oh, and by the way, at 16 past the hour, if you want to be part of this conversation, you are more than welcome. I trust everybody knows the numbers. If you don't, shoot me a note and I'll tell you. As long as you're not a white winger or one of the maggots, you don't get on this program. But just from an oh, by the way, you know, this was also supposed to be a big day because Julius Geezer was going to do the big reveal on whether or not Rod Rosenstein had a job. But that sick egomaniac can't stand to be upstaged by anything, not even the confirmation hearing of his own Supreme Court nominee. So the reality television show that is the ongoing career or lack of one of Rod Rosenstein has been postponed to another day, in case you were wondering why you didn't hear that little bit of news earlier today. James in Illinois, subject line, Monica Lewinsky. Michael Brooks said that Kavanaugh asked Lewinsky how many times Clinton ejaculated into her mouth. Classy. Well, right, and that was part of his righteous indignation, because, see, asking questions like that of a Democratic president, that's A-OK. But bothering a good and godly God emperor like Trump with something as insignificant as the fact that he's a bought and paid for asset of an adversarial nation, well, we can't have that now. And make no mistake, when this fucker gets to the Supreme Court, what did he say when he was shrieking and bellowing? That Democrats will reap the whirlwind. He's made clear that he's going to be a vindictive little prick, if he wasn't already. One of the, as I watched, uh, as I watched the coverage today, they had a commentator over on MSNBC that I have never seen before. And she apparently brought her A game. She wasn't gonna be having any milquetoast soft soap bullshit. Cynthia Alksney, Alksne. Speaking of the bellowing and spitting, well, let's just go to the audio.
Yeah, throw in a pile of unprecedented things. Obviously the striking thing.
This is Eugene Robinson.
Kavanaugh's presentation,
Washington Post.
Up to now has been the emotion, has been I don't know if one would call it rage, but
it was wrong.
I mean, he was yelling, and we need to keep that in perspective, because at first, frankly, it just comes off as weird, and you wonder, is this someone who's falling apart before your eyes? And I think we do need to step back and say,
they thought I was crazy, but I caught him with the strawberries,
and realize that, you know, he ripped up those remarks.
You can't handle the beer.
He wrote it out himself. It obviously was edited by no one. And so there's a very real sense that he is fighting for his reputation. And for him, that is literally fighting for his life.
He said, I don't know if I'll be able to teach again because of all this. I mean, he has on his brain today his life, his what he's going, mm-hmm. and how it may change, not the Supreme Court.
Yeah, no, I thought human carnage was a good...
Let's skip a bit, brother. Here we go.
Wants to be on the Supreme Court, and he's not going to be. And he has, in fact, it has been human carnage. He has been humiliated. And he's.
I disagree with Ms. Alksney. He's going to be on the Supreme Court. And just by way of preparing for it, I guess there's an outside chance that maybe Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins might say no. But that will be offset when Joe Manchin says yes, and Heidi Heitkamp says yes, and Joe Donnelly of Indiana says yes. Because see, here in West Virginia, Joe Manchin has nothing to fear from the Democratic voting base. They understand how awful Patrick Morrissey is. And so they will vote for Joe Manchin under any set of circumstances. If photographs were released of Joe Manchin slobbing Trump's mushroom, tiny mushroom-shaped knob, the Democrats in this state would still vote for Joe Manchin. There is nothing Joe Manchin can do that will make Democrats not vote for him. And that's just a fact. Because Joe Manchin has nothing to fear from them. On the other hand, Joe Manchin is scared to goddamn death of the maggots. Because they have a tendency toward violence. They have a tendency toward being pig-eyed mean and spitefulness. So mark it down. If I'm wrong, I will sing hallelujah that I'm wrong. Actually, I won't, because you don't want me singing. I want to be wrong about this, but I'm all too prepared to be sadly and horrifyingly correct. But anyway, back to Cynthia Alksney.
He's angry, and you get the feel that you have a feeling for what he's like when he is, as his roommate from Yale described him, when he drank, that he could be an angry and belligerent drunk. I mean, almost, he didn't seem drunk. I'm not indicating that. But he was angry and belligerent, and it was kind of scary. And you got a side of him that you didn't expect to see. Moreover, you don't expect to hear from a federal judge conspiracy theories about the Clintons, and this is all about Trump. You don't expect to hear that, and it was so partisan, it's hard for me to believe you can then rule on cases with that kind of partisanship. It's just not what we expect. That's not the temperament of a federal judge. It's completely everything that a federal judge isn't was that 50-minute rant. So I think he's done himself a great disservice in his judge role. Whether or not the American people think his outrage is justified and as a result he didn't do these things, I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. But as a judge, he's hurt himself immeasurably.
I don't disagree with a lot of that, except for the part where she says he's not going to be on. Right. And by the way, there was one question put to him, I forget by whom, wherein someone said, were you ever alone with Dr. Ford or, you know, those little conjunctions can be a real problem. Were you ever alone with Dr. Ford or Mark Judge? No, absolutely not. Or. So that would mean alone in a room or a gym or a locker room or, you know, anywhere just with Mark Judge. No, never. Lying bastard. Note coming in from Alma. Subject line today. I want to thank Tracy for speaking to us of her truth. I married a man who had one personality with me and another one in public. He was in school for a ministry degree. He sexually assaulted underage girls during our marriage with me present. I did not know any better than something felt wrong. I did not know what to do. Violence and anger were the norm privately. I feared for my life. It has affected me in my marriage 30 years later. I rejoiced when Kavanaugh lost his cool, so his real personality was in plain view. Thank you for sharing, Alma. And it was refreshing to see, the monster that he is. But I just want us to all be realistic enough not to kid ourselves about what the outcome of this is going to be. Now, there may be a lot of fight left, and I hope that the Democrats in the Senate will fight like there's no tomorrow, because there isn't. There isn't. But we need to be ready for what may well be coming. And some of that may be the perfidy of Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, and Heidi Heitkamp. So all we can do, I suppose, is wait, and probably wait not very long. Hey, Jules.
Hello, Bob. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I just wanted to make a note. I was listening to the, obviously, the hearings earlier. I listened to almost the entire thing, just out of curiosity, morbid curiosity, I suppose. Afterwards, I happened to hit ABC News. I don't listen to the corporate news cycles very often, but one of the things that was commented about was that Ryan, which is the National Sex Abuse Hotline, received an uptick of 124% in calls over the course of the day.
do you suppose, I mean, is there any way of knowing, were those new reports or were those people in crisis?
Those were crisis calls from people who heard the Dear Doctor's testimony and really were impacted greatly by it. When you hear people publicly speaking about these things, it does tend to bring out a lot of emotion, and it can bring up a lot of broken. Weeks ago with you, I had, when I was a teenager, I had been, well, all the way from about the time I was 8 until I was almost 16, I was sexually molested by my stepfather. And when I was taken down to the police station in the back of a cop car and treated like the person who had caused the assault. This was back in the late 80s. It was would have been about 87 when this happened. And so I know why she didn't say anything then. When she said she was a 15-year-old girl and she couldn't go to her parents and say that she was at a boys, that she was at a party with boys drinking beer, I know why. Because women who said that then, and even today, we got pure notice of it today, are still treated as though they are at fault. Women and men both. It's not, you know, I didn't want to leave out men because a lot of men are sexually assaulted and they can never come forward because the attitude of our society.
Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you were, did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. I just, okay. But I was turning on Do Not Disturb, so I didn't have a bunch of rings coming through on my phone. But it's really shameful how survivors are treated. I don't like to say victims, because if you go through a sexual assault specifically, or any kind of abuse as a child or a young person, you have survived that. If you come out on the other side, you are no longer, I mean, victim is too overused of a word, and it implies a negativity somehow. I survived what I went through and a lot of other things, but primarily that, and I came out on the other side, I think, as a better person, but I didn't have to go through that to be a better person. And
You weren't that bad a person to begin with.
No, Dr. Ford didn't have to go through this. And for all the wimping and whining and pissing and moaning that Kavanaugh did today, and his little crocodile tears, I'm sorry, I didn't believe him for an instant. It shows how well he was coached. Shine from Fox News was, he's one of Trump's advisors now, was one of the people that was coaching him. Not because he had experience in the litigation and stuff of these types of cases, but because he has experience putting on a television show, and that's all they fucking did today was put on a goddamn television show to try to make Kavanaugh look like he was better than what he is.
Well, once again, it was reality television. When I cataloged all those things, that when I started thinking about everything that, you know, has happened just during the short course of my life, this is up there. I mean, I very well remember where what was his name, the lawyer Sullivan, sat there and chastised Democrats on the on the Senate committee when he was representing Ollie North and declared that he was not a potted plant. Because mm-hmm. he wouldn't let Ollie answer any questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty damned amazing. And for a 10-11-year-old kid coming home from baseball practice, Watergate was pretty engaging, because I didn't have one TV in the house, and that's what was on, because it was on every damn channel. And so I watched, and my parents told me about it. But
yeah,
Major Kong says in Dr. Strangelove. I've been to 3 rodeos, something, something, and dinner on the ground, and I ain't never seen nothing like this. Well, that's kind of where I was today. And Jules, it's been a long damn day.
It is.
I'm not jumping up on the cross or anything, but I am wore right the hell out. Because I was, you know, I was up by 6 a.m. Basically watching all the warm-ups and all the predictions and everything. And I was right there when the thing started, and I watched it straight through, mm-hmm. with almost no interruption, all the way to the point when I came in here and fired up everything to make it go.
Yeah.
And it's astonishing to see the lack of anything resembling moral courage on the part of anybody in the Republican Party.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And what really, really tips me off that he has an issue is the way he tried cross-examining and became belligerent, so belligerent with the Democratic senators. Not only that, even in his opening statement, blaming the Clintons for causing this to be a horse and pony show, basically. And you know, it wasn't Bill Clinton he was blaming. It was Hillary Clinton. You know, he
right, because there's that story out there of the time when he and a bunch of the other hyper-partisan scumbag cleanest chasers were watching TV together, and Hillary Clinton appeared on the TV, and David Brock saw him silently mouth the word, bitch.
Yeah. The other thing that I don't think a lot of people got out of today, the people who he kept going back to that had statements made to that were made out, three people, whatever it was, from supposedly that night or any time around that night, when Dr. Ford was physically accosted, he kept saying that they were sworn statements. They were not sworn statements. I don't know how many people called it, but they were signed statements by these people's attorneys. Judge dude, Matt Judge, he did not fucking sign his own statement. It was signed by his goddamn attorney.
I did not know that. That's horrifying. I mean, well, it's also I maintain that the reason Mark Judge has been so thoroughly buried and nobody wants to hear from him is because when he opens the door, if he were to open the door, there would be bats flying out that would affect the DC power elite all over the place.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt of that. I have absolutely no doubt of that. But I don't think any of the people, who had statements that were put in today that were directed at that specific time frame when he was supposed to, you know, when he says he never was with, Dr. Ford, that those were statements signed by the attorneys. They weren't sworn statements by these people. They were statements given to the Senate by their attorneys. And that's what was stated during those hearings. And I don't think a whole lot of people caught that. Another thing people I didn't think caught is he swore in his fucking opening statement. He has coached basketball for the last 7 years.
I can never coach basketball again.
He's coached the basketball teams of both of his daughters for the last 7 years. That would have made his youngest daughter 3 years old. Explain that to me.
Well, you know, they got this 2.5-foot goal, and I mean, I got
Look, the guy has lied like a rug throughout the entirety of his confirmation process.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it was unraveling at the end. It really was, and the reason I feel it was unraveling is, once again, we go back to his statements in his preliminary comments. 65 women from his high school signed a letter stating that he was never sexually advanced on them, never did anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. By the end of that testimony, one of the last things that he said was, it was a letter of about 60 people, of 60 men and women from his high school that was turned in. I want to know which one it is. Is it 65 women that knew him during that time, or is it 65 men and or 60 men and women that knew him during that time? That makes a huge difference. It may not seem it, but it does make a huge difference. I mean, he's blowing out number. He's doing a Trump right there.
Well, by the way, since we're just noting these little factoids, somebody over on the House side, as soon as Kavanaugh started lying about what Devil's Triangle is,
mm-hmm.
went over and tried to edit the Wikipedia page on what it is, and got caught.
Good.
Because it is very definitely, it's very definitely a sexual term.
Mm-hmm.
And you know. Boof has nothing to do with passing fucking gas.
No. I thought they said boof.
Boof, yeah.
And I said, boof. Yeah. With a B. And I'm like,
yeah,
no,
boof, as in boo-foo.
That's not flatulence. Who in their right mind believes that's flatulence, you know? And this thing that he came up with about his friend going, fuck, you know? No, I don't believe a bit of his jack shit nonsense because of so many times he tripped himself up. If people were really listening to his testimony, he tripped himself up so many goddamn times between what he put in his opening statement and what he testified to. The fact that he surrendered himself, he picked four women as his possible Supreme Court clerks. Why do you think he picked four women? Because he's surrounding himself with women to try to make himself look better.
Well, not just that. I don't want to come across as sexist in saying this. Those law clerks that he picks who are female, and he out of 48, he's picked 25 law clerks.
Right.
They're real put together.
Yeah.
And of course we have the remarks from people at Yale who point to the fact that certain women have been groomed by a professor there named Amy Chua to be clerks for him, and her eldest daughter is in fact one of those clerks. And they are almost uniformly brunette with legs that go all the way up to their chins.
Mm-hmm.
They wear their skirts about 2 to 4 inches above their knees. And you know what? A woman can dress any way she wants, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? But when, but this is grooming, okay? This is grooming. He likes the way they look.
There's a difference between a woman feeling sexy about herself and feeling comfortable with her own being and feeling that they need to look sexy for their boys. It's sad, but it's a true statement.
Well, and it also has something to do with doing what's necessary to get ahead in a world that men don't have to do that in.
Yeah. Why do you think women feel that they have to be sisters of their bones? Because they feel that they have to have some sort of dignity to be able to get into positions where they can feel like they're contributing something or doing something, you know? And Jim going on, I mean, just the fact that he's rather gone for, 15, 20 minutes about how he has promoted women's causes and done this and done that. Bullshit. If he'd been promoting women's causes, he'd be out on the front lines promoting women's rights to their own sexuality, not his fucking hand up their goddamn vagina telling them what to do with their uterus. I'm sorry that was vulgar, but
see, Holy Mother Church won't let him do that. So he can only empower little conservabots. Yeah, there was a lot of talk today about, you know, I had a liberal clerk who said I'm not a dick.
It was a text from last night, and he was never asked to provide that text. No one asked him about it. Every one of these things that he commented on, he never offered to provide for the senators that were sitting for that hearing today.
Well, right, and that started early on when Aunt Lydia started questioning Dr. Ford. The Democrats said, excuse me, we don't have these. Chuck Grassley said, don't give a fuck, keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The way they just totally...
It was an ambush. It was an ambush.
Yeah. No, the Democrats are the ones who ambushed, remember. No, not the Republicans.
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, because, poor Lindsay from down under the fainting couch said, I feel ambushed, and John's not here anymore. I liked him better when John was his boyfriend. I don't like him now that Trump's his new boyfriend.
Yeah, this is sad.
And look, let's face facts. I really don't give a damn what Lindsay's sexuality is. I give a damn if he's a hypocrite about it.
Oh yeah.
I've read from time to time that there have been intense discussions about whether or not, because, you know, it is a big discussion even today inside the gay community, whether or not to out a closeted gay person. And I've read in the past that has been an intense debate over the years. Whether to out Lindsay, and so far, not outing Lindsay has won the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, not outing a lot of these Republican motherfuckers. And I try to give everyone the due credit they deserve. But, you know, like, as I listen to some of these comments from the Republican side, well, both sides, actually. You know, I think that the Democrats missed a lot of opportunities to ask some very valid questions. I think they seemed like they were harping at some time at points. They were making good points only due to the fact that that's the only way that information was going to get out there into the broader aspect of the public, bringing up certain things, you know. So, and then the who was the last one that made the comments? I can't think of who he was. But he
you talking
he
about
like,
the Do You Love Jesus Senator?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
Do
John.
You love God?
Yeah, that's John Kennedy of Louisiana, the same guy who
yeah.
referred to Aunt Lydia as Catwoman.
Mm.
Twice yesterday. Twice.
No comment there, but just the fact that the word God was brought up in that context.
Well, but it was brought up for a reason because, see, that means they can, that you know, the various and sundry Republican senators can go back to the maggots and say, well, you don't have to worry about him having done that to Dr. Ford, because he done swore in front of Jesus what he done.
Mm-hmm. What he done. And, you know, his whole calendar thing, I think a lot of that's a sham. Have you reviewed your calendar over that period?
Why did he tear up when he started talking about his dear old pappy starting to keep a calendar in 1978?
That's what I was talking about.
I mean, I was expecting him to say, and then Daddy died of cancer in a car wreck.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying about the.
But I think his daddy's still a going concern, isn't he?
Yeah, his daddy's still a going concern. His mama and daddy were both there, I believe.
Yes.
It was just breaking their hearts to see their little boy. He's the only son of these people, and by God, it was just killing them to have to see him go through this. I don't recall any abused so badly since all this came out.
Well, it remains, even though this is all said and done, it remains all hands on deck, Jules.
I know.
People who don't want to see this sick freak on the Supreme Court. Well, I presume that for instance, our friends in the Horn community in D.C., I presume that they're doing something about it. And by the way, they do. You know, you remember how it was a real big hearing room last time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, little itty bitty room in Dirksen this time, so that there wouldn't be any room for anybody to stand up and say, don't force women into back alleys or anything like that. And of course, Kavanaugh dismissed it also. You know, the Democrat conspiracy has said that I'm going to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
You prick. When she dies because she can't get an abortion and she tries to do it herself or get somebody who says, oh, I can do that, and she hemorrhages to death or dies of sepsis, blood's going to be on your hands, Brett. And there ain't enough priests nor cardinals nor popes nor vicars nor monsignors nor bishops nor cardinals on all of round planet Earth to wash that blood off of you.
I wish, I really do, these motherfucking people who are so against abortion, against women's rights to choose, would have to sit in a clinic, in a family planning clinic. I worked for Planned Parenthood for a period of time in the early 90s, for quite a number of years in the early 90s, actually. And to hear women tell their stories about why they feel that they have to justify their right to choose, and the reasons that they have are so heart-wrenching.
Well, there was a book that came out a year or so or more ago about the origins of the pill. And it contains it contains accounts of the minute that word leaked out that there was a pill that could keep women from getting pregnant. Women around the world began writing to the researchers saying, please, I've got to have it now. I can't be pregnant anymore. I can't bear it anymore. And my husband won't get off me.
Yeah,
and even within my own family, of course, this was a very long time ago. My great grandmother had 13 children, and she loved each and every one of them, and was beloved in the family. But by the time she was 48 years old, she looked like Granny Clampett.
Yeah.
Well, lore says that. When she figured out she was pregnant with the 13th child, she took off running up the mountain in the hopes of finding a big rock that she could throw herself off of and die.
Yeah.
And they went up and dragged her back.
I believe it. I mean, but if you could, you know, sit there and have someone sit across from you at a desk and say, I can't go through this because... and talk about an abusive husband, an abusive boyfriend, a situation that they don't want to report as rape otherwise and say, what, I can't afford to go and have a procedure done. What can I do? I know you know. And to have to look at, you know, a woman in the eye and say, I can't help you. You know, I can't help you. I know you are heart-wrenchingly depressed about this. I know you are. Who knows how many women have actually committed suicide over this, like you said, because it is such a very vital decision for women to be able to have. And to have worked in that environment, especially, and have heard
well,
all of
yeah, far, yeah, far back in my family tree on a, on a different branch, there's a little boy that was born, and he was given a biblical name. He was given the name Lo-Ammi. And you look it up, and Lo-Ammi means, you are not my son.
Mm.
And there's probably a little bit of that in everybody's families, Jules. But anyway, I've got to get out of here. We're right up against it. But thank you for helping me to get through what was another otherwise a rather challenging evening. I do appreciate it.
People in West Virginia and Indiana, get a hold of Donnelly and Manchin and tell them if they don't vote right on this, they are going to be out of office, and do everything you can to get them out of office if that's the case.
Can I suggest, Jules, that they will not believe it?
I know, but you can sure as hell do everything you can to persuade them, and you can do everything you can to get them out.
I'm doing my best, and my friends are doing their best. And I hope people in Talibandiana will do theirs as well. And hey,
Donnelly.
North Dakota too. Because by the way, the news has broken. Tomorrow at 9:30 a.m., the Senate Committee on the Judiciary will hold the confirmation vote on Brett Kavanaugh, hell or high water. Cranky old coot Chuck Grassley says that he thinks he's got the votes, which means he does, which means that old rubber-tipped era Jeff Flake is going to prove to once again be about as useless as tits on a boar hog.
Yeah. Well, unless it's Donnelly or Manchin that he's already got, you know.
Jules. It's got to get out of committee first.
It's got to get out of committee.
The full Senate vote could come as early as Monday.
That's what I remember hearing, yeah. But I just, you know, I distrust those two more than I distrust my...
And thanks to our buddy Steve from Georgia Stan for cluing me in on that at the last moment.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Jules, you have yourself a good evening.
You too, thank you.
Bye now. And there we are at the end of the program. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be... I'll probably get this program uploaded and be down for the count. Because, I mean, I feel like I've been rode hard and put up wet. But there does remain work to be done. If you live in a state that's got a squishy senator, you got work to do. If you want to keep this monster, the word was bandied about today, this monster, and he is one, off the court. And not to be dismissive, but even without what happened today, there is ample reason to vote against him. Even without taking into account a woman's right to choose, which I'm not suggesting anyone do, there's still ample reason to vote against him. Where'd all the money come from that paid off his debts, his gambling debts, his baseball debts? How's he living in that house? Why was he trafficking in stolen property? And why did he commit perjury 4 times during his own confirmation hearings? Why? So, like I said, work to be done. And, of course, rubber-tipped arrow Jeff Flake is absolutely accountable to no one
because he's not running for re-election. And by the way, if you're in Utah or you know people in Utah, there's only one way to punish filthy old Orrin Hatch for that. I find you very attractive, pleasing. And that is to make sure that Bishop Willard Romney, his successor, never gets anywhere near the Senate. Are there enough pissed off women in Utah to do that? I don't know. But thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thanks again to our subscribers who and to everybody who keeps the program on the air. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.